So today we are in week four of a series we've been running since just before Easter and answering the question, who is Jesus? I'm sure many of us have heard a lot about Jesus. Perhaps we've researched, we've dug a bit deeper into who Jesus is. But I think there's always something new to learn, isn't there? Always something fresh. And one of the joys of life, I think, is that we can remain curious in our lives. I think that's a great habit to get into, is to remain curious. And if whatever age you get to, there's always something more to learn and to discover. And I think that has to be true in faith as well, and in terms of who Jesus is. We want to answer that question, or help to answer that question, by looking at how Jesus described himself. As he made seven statements that John records in his gospel, and he said seven things about himself that I think it's worth just learning a little bit more from. John's account, John's good news account, his gospel is very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He frames it through these seven statements and through seven signs that Jesus offered as a reflection on each of those statements as well. And so he traces the life and ministry of Jesus through this pattern, if you like, through these seven distinct moments in Jesus' life. So far in our series, we looked at I am the way and the truth and the life. A couple of weeks ago on Easter Sunday, we looked at I am the resurrection and the life. And last week, we looked at this phrase where Jesus says, I am the gate. So do catch up with those. All of those are available on the church YouTube channel. So if you've missed any of those, do catch up with them and perhaps just discover something fresh for yourself through those as well. Today, we're going to be looking at the next statement, I am the bread of life, from John chapter 6, verse 35. And next week, we'll be picking up where Jesus says, I am the vine. Now, for those of you who are observant, you will notice that each one of these phrases starts with the same two words, I am. And that's significant. That is the most significant thing about these seven statements. That was two words spoken by God way back in Exodus chapter 3 to Moses. The burning bush was burning without being consumed, and God spoke to Moses, invited him to come closer to the fire, to take off his shoes because it was holy ground. And then God spoke to him as he invited Moses to go to Pharaoh and ask for the people of Israel to be let free, to be let go, to lead God's people out of slavery into the freedom that God had promised for them centuries before into the promised land. Now, you can imagine that here's Moses looking after the sheep and suddenly being told to go to the most powerful person in the land. And that sounded like a pretty tough commission to get. But I think in reading the text, I get a feeling that Moses was more afraid of going to the Israelites than he was going to Pharaoh. Because there's something very interesting in the text in chapter 3. We read in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 15. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And so God gives him this name, I am, in order to tell the Israelites who it is that Moses is the spokesperson for. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. I'm sorry, I didn't click. There it goes. And then he adds, this is my name forever. The name you should call me from generation to generation. And so when it comes to Jesus, the generations have known God by this name. The name that has been passed on from that moment has gone through all the generations up to this time of Jesus. Now, there'll be many scholars, if you've done any research about any of these texts, who conclude that Jesus never said that he was God. And yet Jesus takes this title upon himself in what feels to me like a direct link to God's character, trying to express to the people of his day the character of God and showing them that he came to fulfill the promise that God had given centuries before. Now, this question, who is Jesus, is a really important question for us to confront, of course, because it's the foundation of our faith, our trust in Jesus. In fact, it's very useful to work it out, because if you have a conversation with somebody who doesn't know who Jesus is, then you've got some great tools, because you've thought about it and you can convey it to somebody else in the way that Jesus did as well. But a decision about it is important in life. To decide who Jesus is and then to live out what it is that you've decided will make the difference in our lives. And I don't want you to miss out on the life that he came to offer. You'll see in all those statements so far that each of them end up with life being the offer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the gate to life. And today I am the bread of life. And I guess it's how we define life that actually is quite important then to understanding why Jesus would say what it was he says. Now, there's all types of life out there. There is biological life, of course. The Greek word for that is bios, where we get, I guess, biology from, as well as other things. There is also chronos life, life that is just moving one day at a time. It's linear. We're moving today, tomorrow, the next day, and on. So there's the passing of time as well. But the Bible talks about a different kind of life. The Greek word is zoe. It means the essence of God, the spark of life, the essential building blocks of life are in us. That's the sort of life Jesus has come to bring. He hasn't just come to bring us physical life. We are alive. Most of us this morning, I can see, are alive, and that's good news. I know many of you tell me that when I say, how are you today, you reply by saying, well, I'm still breathing, which is a great thing to do. That is life. That is bios. That is just life in our lives. Some of us, we're letting the days just pass by. Some of us, we're here today, and tomorrow will be another day, and tomorrow will be another day, and tomorrow will be another day. And nothing's happening in that. We're just going through the motions of life. But the life Jesus came to bring is the spark, the excitement, the fullness of life that God gave into the dust when he created Adam to bring life. And Jesus has come to bring that life to us again. The spark of life, to reignite us, to help us to fulfill all that life has to offer us. No matter what age we are, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, he wants to ignite this life when we understand who he is and why he has come. That's on offer for all those who will trust him, who will believe in his name. Life in all its fullness, we heard last week in John 10:10. The fullness of life that only Jesus can bring. Now, we've looked at the context of each of these I am, so we'll do the same again today, if that's okay with you. If you've got your Bibles or you've got your app on, John chapter 6 is worth starting in, and you can scan it along with me as we go. John chapter 6, in John chapter 6, he crams in a lot of things happening in this particular moment. He crams in the feeding of the 5,000 with bread. He crams in Jesus walking on water. He puts in Jesus speaking about bread and linking it to God's provision of bread and manna in the wilderness years. Now, some followers deciding they can't follow Jesus any longer because his teaching is too hard. And then Peter makes his bold declaration to Jesus. There's a lot going on in John chapter 6. And at the end of chapter 6, it's Peter who declares, Jesus, you've got the words of eternal life. Throughout all that's happened in John chapter 6, Peter has got the answer. This Zoe life, this life in all its fullness. That kind of life, as he'd walked with Jesus through this, as he'd heard Jesus say, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. I believe, Peter says, that you are the Holy One of God. And when he said it, it wasn't just a title he was giving to Jesus, an intellectual assent to what Jesus was saying. It was a decision to turn his life towards Jesus himself. But what about you? What do you believe about Jesus? And what about the life that he's giving to you, he's offering to you? Are you just existing? Are you just going through the time motions? Or is it the spark of life that feeds your soul and enables you to live as a follower of His? As we've seen time and time again throughout history, people can use and abuse Jesus for their own purposes and agendas very, very easily when it suits them, and become consumers of Jesus rather than encountering and experiencing the full extent of His love. And when we've embraced Jesus and the life He has to give us, the difference that makes to every decision, it's worth having. I was amused this week to read that on one particular betting platform, I'm not a visitor of betting platforms, by the way, it was just a report, $57 million has been wagered on when Jesus will come back. And apparently, the betting algorithms predict that there's a 4% chance that it's going to be before the end of 2027. Do you want to take a bet on that one? It amused me, really, because people betting on that happening, I'm amused as to what they're going to do with the money that they're going to win if it actually comes true. I think Jesus might have other things on His mind than that. But please don't speculate about Jesus, will you? There's no need to speculate about Him. To coin one of our phrases for this year, activate your faith when it comes to Him. Let it make a difference. Let it spark life in all its fullness and live that out every day. He not only said, "I am," but He demonstrated the reality of this through His life, His death, and His resurrection. And He offers it to you again today. Now, I'm going to go a bit further in the text to John chapter 5 this morning, just a little bit further back. And if you look in John chapter 5, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, and He's helping them think about what they believe and how they might believe in Him. And so He starts by talking about Moses to them, the basis for their belief and actions, the one they go back to, the one that they read, they study, and they try and live out all that happened then. And Jesus says, if you really read Moses, you'll understand who I am. And that if they believed what Moses wrote, they would believe in Him as well. And then in John 5:47, He says, but since you do not believe what He wrote, what Moses wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? It's a great question, isn't it? A great question to confront those who misunderstand or don't want to understand who Jesus is. How are you going to believe what I say since you don't believe what has been said? And then straight after this, He then goes into the feeding of the 5,000 miracle. The miracle recorded in all three other Gospels as well. And it seems to me that Jesus is saying to them, you may not believe what Moses has written or what I've been saying, so let me show you what I mean. And let me do something that might just remind you of Moses and his encounter with God in the Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus, after the 10 plagues, Pharaoh lets the people go. After 430 years of slavery, He finally lets them go. And if you read that story, the Israelites took with them dough. They hadn't baked the bread, but they carried the dough with them. And then after they'd gone a bit further on their journey, it was there that they baked the bread. They kneaded the dough and they baked the bread. Baked loaves of unleavened bread. No time to add the yeast. Wait for it to rise. They had to get across the Red Sea. Now they're in the desert, free from slavery in Egypt, but God had to get slavery out of them. God had to get Egypt out of them. And we see them grumbling and complaining. It's good news that's happened before, isn't it? Don't you think? I'm so glad grumbling and complaining has happened before. Because, they wanted to go back to Egypt. And God hears and answers their cries. So here in Exodus 16, the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. In the morning you're going to be filled with bread. God's provision. And when that happens, you're going to know that I am. Not just knowledge, of course, but experience. You're going to see it. You're going to taste it. You're going to experience this miracle in the desert. And here is Jesus. The people are hungry. 5,000 men and probably lots more women and children. And Jesus says to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus, standing right in front of him, says to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread for these people to eat?" So is it a hunger, is it a logistical problem that he's expecting Philip to solve? Is it a financial matter, in which case they need to take the offering plate around and get donations? Or is it their own problem to sort out themselves? Philip, what do you think? What do you think? Well, we don't have enough money. We could send them away and go to the local shops. All we have is 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. And Philip has decided that isn't going to be enough, as most of us would, of course. We can't solve the problem. But Jesus says in that moment, "Give what you have to me." And he takes the loaves, he gives thanks, he gives it to those who are seated down, as much as they wanted, the text says. In the desert, they were filled with bread. Here, with Jesus, they had as much as they wanted. And when they had all had enough to eat, there were 12 basketfuls of bread left over. I don't know what happened to the fish leftovers. It doesn't get a mention in the Bible. All it says is there were 12 basketfuls of bread left over. Filled with bread, as much as they wanted. Then you will know that I am. Well, not quite, unfortunately. In John chapter 6, verse 14, the crowd says, "Surely this is a prophet who has come into the world." In John chapter 6, verse 15, they wanted to make him king. But Jesus, of course, is not a prophet or a king, and he reveals himself to those who are looking for him. If you want to read along with me, can I encourage you to do that? It will be on the screen. There's about 5 slides, so keep going until we stop. But please read along with me from John 6:25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty." So Jesus meets the physical need of the people in front of him out of compassion. And he meets the spiritual hunger because he is who he says he is. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." It's an invitation of grace, an invitation of generosity. There is always going to be enough for you. Now, during Lent, we looked at the lines in the Lord's Prayer, and one of them, as you probably will remember, is "Give us today our daily bread." An invitation to ask for what we need, an expression of dependence on the giver, and also a limit to the excess that it's too easy to get used to. It's inviting us to know when enough is enough, when we come to the one who is the bread of life, who is enough for us. The crowd are looking for more bread. Jesus is looking for their understanding. The crowd are working for food that spoils, just like gathering too much manna. But Jesus offering them something that will last. The crowd are asking what God requires of them. Jesus is asking them just to believe. The crowd want another sign so that they can believe. And Jesus simply declares, I am. And he just invites them to come and to believe. Because very soon his body is going to be broken. And very soon his blood is going to be poured out for many, for all who will come and receive. And then we get to this very tough moment. I think for me it's always been the saddest verse in the Bible. It's John chapter 6, verse 66. Many of the disciples turned away from Jesus because they said, it's too hard, this teaching. But Peter answered when Jesus said, who do you say I am, Lord? To whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. He'd made his decision. You are the bread of life. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the provider. Here in the wilderness, enough for each day, so that we can relinquish our own position of self-sufficiency and say simply in faith, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The bread of God, it is wrapped up in a person. It is Jesus broken for you. I've got another C.S. Lewis quote. It's not quite as long as last week's, but I thought it was worth bringing. Most people, if they had really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want and want acutely something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. If I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. I was made to encounter Jesus. I was made to encounter his life. I was made to understand the fullness of life that he brings. So don't chase what doesn't last. Don't keep extra manna in the hope that it won't spoil. Don't chase what doesn't last. Pursue Jesus in your life. And don't get lost in what you must do. Don't get lost in all this action, these things that you must do. Often we want a checklist, a system. We want a way to earn the Jesus is well done. But Jesus flips the script for us. He isn't inviting you to perform. He's not inviting you to achieve. He's not inviting you to have to prove yourself every day. Philip tried to solve the problem of the food in so many ways when Jesus was right next to him. Don't get lost in what you must do. Just find Jesus. And some of you might be thinking, well, I've tried to do that and I still feel empty. I still feel hungry. Jesus doesn't say to you, whoever performs perfectly will never hunger. He says, whoever comes to me won't hunger. And that includes those of us who are tired, those of us who are doubting, those who are distracted, and those of us who are struggling at the moment. He just says, come. Faith isn't about having it all together. It's about knowing where to find bread that feeds the soul. And I guess some of us have to answer that question. What are we feeding our souls with? We all feed on something. Of course we do. Achievement, approval, comfort, control, all sorts of different things we feed on. But none of those will sustain us. As C.S. Lewis says, they offer a lot, they deliver nothing. Only Jesus can truly say, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. What I love about this passage also is that it is looking back to Moses. It's definitely involved in the present of who Jesus is, but it's also looking forward to the future as well. The language of bread and hunger echoes throughout the Bible. Isaiah chapter 55, God invites you to come. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Why spend money on what is not bread? Revelation 16, the great marriage supper of the Lamb, a great feast where everyone will feed finally and fully satisfied as God's people gather around the table to celebrate all God has done. And so when Jesus stands there in that moment and says, I'm the bread of life, he's saying, I'm the fulfillment of the past. I'm the provision that you need for the present, and I'm the promise for the future. And those are all wrapped up in Jesus, I am the bread of life. Today we're going to share communion in a moment. And I think wrapped up in communion is this desire for us to know three different things. I desire to know, to hear Jesus say, I love you. I desire to hear Jesus say, I forgive you. And I desire to hear Jesus say, dinner's ready. There's a feast around a table for you. I love you, I forgive you, and dinner's ready. So that everyone who follows him, who makes the decision to come to him as he invites, receives the life that will sustain us and will satisfy us and will equip us with energy for the task he has given us. You have a place at the table today, and you are invited to come to take and to receive what he has to give you. In Luke 22, he says, Jesus said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. This is a sign of the kingdom, a sign of the kingdom now that we get to taste now before the future unfolds itself. You're invited to the table to meet him in these very simple elements of bread and drink, to meet him there, and to know in the depths of your life, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. So may today be a day when you encounter him afresh and you commit yourself to continue to live the sort of life that he's invited you to do. See, the bread is just a symbol. We don't need bread, we just need to encounter Jesus. So please, don't just live, exist, be glad you're breathing tomorrow morning, if you are, by the way. Don't just walk through life one day at a time with just going through the motions. Receive the life, the Zoe life, the spark of life that enables us to fulfill his will and purpose in our world as well. Come, he says, believe, receive. And the one who fed 5,000 with five loaves, giving them as much as they wanted, he has enough for you this morning. Guarantee it. He has what is best for those who are ready and willing to receive his presence. Please don't just survive life. Thrive at it with the bread of life. Don't just stay alive. Be alive because of Jesus igniting that life in you. I'm going to invite the musicians to come and help us as we prepare for communion this morning. As you can see, if you can see, it's at the front, and it's for you to come. For you to come and take it and receive what Jesus wants to give you. So it's always a bit of a logistical nightmare. But we can do it, can't we? So what I'd love this morning is that you just come when you're ready to come. I know it's very easy for us just to file out. I realize all that, and it's easier to just file out. But I'd really like us to take a bit of time, just to take time, just on our own, just reflecting on who Jesus is for us. And if you need to push past somebody, they'll be fine with that. But could you come up this aisle anyway? Yeah, so if you guys, you need to go all the way around, okay? And take the bread and just take a moment while you're there just to eat it. And then when you've eaten it, just move and take the cup and take the cup back with you. And we will drink together. Does that all make sense this morning? Yeah? And don't rush. There's no rush. It's about encountering Jesus today. So just take the time. Because I don't want you to miss the moment, if you like. I don't want you to miss this moment. There's another Greek word, kairos. And it is about the moment of encounter, that one moment that makes the difference in our lives. So may this be your kairos moment that renews you, that gives you life, and sets you off for the future he has planned. For those of you that aren't able to walk to the front, there are some individual bowls there. So somebody, if there's somebody near you who can't walk to the front, could you just come and take that and take it back to them? Would that be okay? Yeah, there's a few there, so I don't want anybody to miss out tonight, today. Okay? All set? Fantastic. We're going to sing the song that says, "When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come." So whenever during this song you want to come, then please come. I think we'll stand. That might make it a little easier. But let's encounter him and let's allow his spirit to meet our spirit today.